92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys had a good weekend, man. I know I just was telling Chase and Wyatt back there in the studios, I can't complain about my weekend, Chase. Listen, anytime crawfish is involved, I'm a happy camper, man. And I know I just thought about it. Chase, you're from Louisiana. You know, I thought about shooting you a text, but I know sometimes you're busy with your other jobs, especially on the weekends. I should have tried to see if you were available because, listen, Chase, these crawfish, man, I did not make them. I know you guys might have seen them on my story. Now, I was just the chef's assistant there, just there for support. But my guy, James Flam, was back in town, right? He had some recruiting trips that he was on. So he stopped by his old stomping grounds, and we got to throw down some crawfish like good old times. When I tell you, Chase, I know I just explained this to you, but for our listeners, man, listen, I'm always, I like kick to them. I like them spicy. Right? A little picante, as we say in Spanish. But I don't like too spicy where you can't taste the seasoning anymore. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I like them where there's a nice blend. You got some kick in there, but you still taste all those good seasonings. Well, these things might have been like the perfect blend, Chase. And I hate to do all that. I'm not trying to rub this in your face. Are you a big crawfish guy, Chase? I know you got the Louisiana roots. I mean, is this something you indulge in every now and then? Is it something you're talking about anytime they're available, you're on it? I mean, tell me so I know for next time what we're dealing with.
Man, crawfish, I'd eat that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is, I would argue, the best cuisine in America, straight up. It's amazing. I'm glad you got some kick. I'm glad you got a good balance, because sometimes people don't know how to do the balance of it, and then you have an overall experience. So, but yeah, I love seafood overall.
Yeah, and listen, I know some people, when they see crawfish, are like, I don't know, man. Those things come out the mud. But listen, you wash them real good. Right, because some people, man, they overlook the washing process. You got to make sure you wash them real good. And you got to have somebody knows what they're doing. And speaking of people knowing what they're doing with crawfish, got to say a big thank you to our folks over at Hamner's Crawfish. They're the ones that supplied us with the crawfish that we use, man. And I've known Ben for years. Ben is the one who runs Hamner Crawfish. And I hit him up last minute, man. I said, hey, man, Jamie's back in town. And we were wondering if he had a sack for us. And, of course, man, he made it happen. So, for any of you guys, I know it's still crawfish season. I think they go through probably around July, something like that. You got plenty of time to do so, man. Make sure you hit up our folks over at Hamner Crawfish, 205-310-7400. They're in over in Northport, man. But they listen, and he's probably booked out the wazoo right now. I know he was telling me how well it's going. But I'm sure he can still squeeze in a couple more clients. But I'm telling you, man, if you get them live like we do, live sacks, and you boil them yourself, or they do a bunch every weekend, cook crawfish as well if you guys want to skip that process. But I'm telling you, man, they're the best in the game, Hamner Crawfish. Again, I've known Ben for years now. Chase, believe it or not, Ben, funny fact here, who owns Hamner Crawfish, he actually was one of the guys that helped me put my hand and footprint over in Denny Chimes, because I think he also, or maybe, I don't know if he still does it. Maybe, I think business might be booming. He might not do it anymore, but he was helping out with the ground stuff over on campus. And he actually was one of the folks that helped get my hand and footprint over in Denny Chimes. So known him for a long time and definitely have indulged in a lot of his crawfish over the years. So make sure you guys check them out for all your crawfish needs. Again, that is Hamner's Crawfish, man. He made it happen on the fly, and it was phenomenal, man. Really, really good stuff. And speaking of that moment, something funny about that, Chase, I had a little bit of a hiccup when I was doing, my hand and footprint in Denny Chimes. So as you guys would imagine, I mean, it's cement or whatever, right? Like, it's wet. You got to stick down in there, then it dries and it's sealed, right? Well, I don't know if I just wasn't paying close attention. Or maybe I was tired that morning. I don't know. But I do know I ended up stepping in my place, like my square, like early and not like intentionally, meaning like I kind of just accidentally walked in it. Like, so my footprint was in it, but prematurely and not where it was supposed to go. And immediately I was like, oh crap, I just ruined my whole thing. I'm like, I worked 5 years to get to this point, Chase, to hopefully be named captain one day. And it actually happens. I just ruined my space at Denny Chimes. I thought that I just messed everything up. And sure enough, Ben was just like, you're good, man. It's no big deal at all. He literally just swiped it clean and it looked like nothing ever happened. But when it happened, Chase, I just remember everybody kind of like, oh, you know, you hear that, like the crowd kind of go, yeah, it was one of those moments. Everybody kind of gasped. And I was like, bro, I'm an idiot. Like, what am I thinking, Chase? I'm like, I'm pretty sure maybe they weren't like blocked off. I don't know. I stepped right in it though. But Ben got me right. So shout out to Ben, man. Not only for all the great crawfish, but also fixing my Denny Chimes spot, which looks perfect now. If you guys ever walking by Denny Chimes, man, check out that co-captain block, Christian Miller, 2018. There's a lot of names over there, bro. A lot of big time names. We'll end up speaking about one of those guys, Chase, because we've been talking a little bit about comparing, you know, Ohio State, Alabama, some of this stuff. I don't know if it's because we've been talking about them so much it's popping up, but I've seen a lot of noise about Jeremiah Smith over at Alabama. First, it was there's a comparison between Jeremiah Smith and Julio Jones. That was pretty interesting. They were basically putting the numbers up of Jeremiah Smith in 2 years of college football versus Julio Jones, 3 years. We can bring up that conversation. I know a lot of Bama fans were chiming in on that on X over the weekend because, listen, I mean, we all know, man, Julio is the man, right? Not just here in Tuscaloosa, but you're talking about one of the best wide receivers ever to play the game with a crazy elite, I guess, blend of size, speed, strength. And we're talking about this dude was doing it during a time where, listen, they didn't throw the ball a whole bunch, right? I mean, when Julio was playing here at Alabama, everybody talks about old Alabama, run the ball, physical. I mean, that was like, that was the thick of it, right? I mean, you're talking about, I don't even know. I mean, I'd have to go back and look. I think Clint brought up some numbers, but we weren't throwing the ball a whole bunch. And this dude was off the charts, right? And you all know what he did in the National Football League. But anyway, I did find it a little interesting when you compared their numbers side by side. And I'll be the first one to tell you, not to, you know, over, I guess, get ahead of myself here because I know I want to bring up this conversation. But I will say, man, I have a lot of respect for Jeremiah Smith. And I'll be honest, I think we're trying to find somebody who's about as close as of a prospect, similar, just in terms, again, I'm not saying I'm the same player, but in terms of body types, that elite and rare combination of size, speed. Now, I feel like Julio probably runs better routes, at least at this point. You're talking about a young guy. I mean, Jeremiah Smith's what, like 20? Maybe 21. But that said, I don't know, man. We got to talk about that a little bit later because I'm not ready to sit there. Just you look at the numbers, and if you just look at a surface level, I can understand people on the outside looking in might just think, oh, man, Jeremiah Smith, he's that dude. He's better than Julio was in college. But I think when you look at the whole picture, you got to take a step back and realize, man, different time, different game, totally different situation we're talking about. But speaking of I guess Jeremiah Smith, I also saw him pop up again, Chase. This time he was on like some, I guess, FaceTime or something with Leonard Fournette. And I don't know who else was on there. There's a couple other guys. But anyway, somebody had asked Fournette, who I go back a while with Fournette. Matter of fact, we were on the same team out in the opening at the Nike camp. But they had asked Fournette, you know, who he would take between Jeremiah Smith and Ja'Marr Chase. You know, his former teammate. I think they're probably there at the same time. Maybe cross paths, maybe 1 year, maybe not. But anyway, both LSU guys. He, without hesitation, said, I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase. It's not even close. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, dang. I mean, he responded pretty quick. But to be fair, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, as good as Jeremiah Smith is, I'm starting to wonder, are we kind of, not we, I don't think I'd do it. But I'm starting to almost wonder if people are kind of jumping the gun, Chase. Because when you think about it, I mean, Stack him up to Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is a dog, man. If you had to pick one dude to be on your team, I get all the traits and then the potential that Jeremiah Smith has. Don't get me wrong, he's a great football player, but I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. The more I think about it, I'm like, damn, I'm kind of feeling what Fournette's saying right here. I mean, if I had to build my team around one of those guys, like right now, granted, again, Jeremiah Smith is a lot younger. I had to go with that too. So anyway, there's a couple of things I want to bring up regarding that, and we'll link it back to Alabama, trust me. But it is off season. We got plenty to talk about. And of course, as you guys have seen, if you guys have checked us out on our streams, which I always encourage you guys to do if you prefer to watch, the show and see us just run our mouths a little bit at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, at the Miller's Edge on X, you'll see that we are going to dive into a post-spring Alabama defense breakdown. And I know we've talked a good bit about some of these things throughout the offseason, but I wanted to bring it back up because I think it was over the weekend, Charlie Potter, Bama Online, On3 had put it out. I had talked with him last week, and I think he did a story basically of my breakdown of the whole defense. So I kind of want to basically bring that back up and just give a whole, I guess, like a summary, right, and of that article and what I discussed in it. Because we discussed all three layers, right, defensive line, linebackers, secondary, just looking at the whole defense post-spring, kind of what our expectations might be for 2026. So right now, that's kind of what I got for you guys. Of course, we always encourage you to get in on the conversation. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Love to have you guys in on that. Or if you're on the stream, you can always join the chat, drop your questions, comments, and concerns right there. And don't forget about that Tide 100.9 app, completely free, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Excuse me, that allows you to basically listen to any show virtually wherever you're at. Plus, you can easily drop app messages there, call in directly from that, or even leave voice messages if you guys prefer to do that. So make sure you guys check that out. We're going to hit our first time out. When we come back, we get rolling right here on this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTV.
It's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
WTBC. All right, so we definitely going to get to our post-spring Alabama defense breakdown. I mean, we could go ahead and start with that and kind of knock that out. I didn't say knock it out, but you know what, Chase? Let's actually do that because, listen, if I put it on the title of the stream, I feel like we kind of got it. Sometimes we wait all the way through and people are probably like, man, I thought this video was supposed to be about X, Y, or Z. They're talking about everything under the sun except that. So we can go ahead and start there. So like I mentioned, I did basically an interview, ends up being an article with Bama Online. Shout out to our guy, Charlie Potter over there, man. Always appreciate Charlie's work and always is nice chatting with him, chopping it up, and he does a great job with what he does. But had an interview with him, and I think he broke it up because I ended up, man, Chase, when I tell you I was on the phone in like 30 minutes, not on my behalf. I just, you know me, man, when I start talking football, man, it just kind of goes. So I think it ended up being multiple stories for Charlie, which probably works out great. So if you guys have a Bama Online account or subscription, the article itself, if not, no worries. I'm going to discuss it here, but I will say this. I got to do some justice by my guy, Charlie, man. I urge you guys to check it out. Listen, I told Charlie this on the phone. They're probably the only service that I'm actually like subscribed to be honest with you, like that. And I did it because just seeing they have a lot of good Alabama content there, and I know, hey, look, we're a radio show, we talk about Alabama all the time, plus I get the national news with it too. I feel like it's been worth every penny. So if you guys aren't subscribed, make sure you check out the work that they do, because you can see it all on their site, and of course you can read the article that I did with Charlie. So all right, without further ado, Chase, let's dive into this Alabama defensive breakdown coming out of the spring practice period. So starting with the defensive line, right? He wanted to get my thoughts on the defensive line, and similar to what I've been talking about here, man, I'll be honest, I walked away impressed with what I saw from our defensive line this spring. We talked about going into the spring, how important that group would be. I mean, if you look at how this defense has performed over the last couple seasons under defensive coordinator Kane Wallman, they've done some good things, right? Defensively, I think if you pull up the statistics, I'd say on average about a top 20 unit, right, in a number of important statistics and categories. Now, if you turn on the tape, I'd argue that there's been some inconsistency stopping the run, right? There's been some inconsistency sometimes with the physicality or really generating consistent pressure on the quarterback, things that I know they're working towards, you know, getting cleaned up. But nonetheless, they've been a very solid unit. However, I think everybody can agree. I think defensive line play we bring up, I mean, when you go from seeing some of the elite players that we've had throughout the years, you don't quite see that as much, but they've done some good things. But I was really curious how it would look, given we lost a lot of players, Chase. I mean, at the bandit position alone, you lost LT Overton. You lost Jordan Renaud to the portal. You lost Keon Keeley to the portal. I mean, you pretty much were just left with like one guy in that room before bringing in guys like Devin Tompkins and a couple others. And even on the, you know, the defensive tackle standpoint, you lose James Smith, you know, who in my opinion, you know, he's a really good football player, a lot of upside, maybe didn't quite live up to it fully here in Tuscaloosa, but that's a loss, right? That you got to replace, right? So looking at this group, I wanted to see a lot out of them this spring. Some of those things were, you know, how physical would this group be, right? Because everything starts with physicality. What would their ability to be, you know, how was their ability getting after the quarterback, right? Could they do that effectively? These new faces that we've seen, Devin Tompkins, right? Knowing the versatility and flexibility that he has. Terrence Green replacing a guy like Tim Keenan, who was that big nose that could clog things up, keep your backers clean, right? That's important. You got to have that. Jeremiah Beeman was out last season with a knee injury, wanting to see kind of how he returned. Granted, we didn't see a whole bunch of him this spring because he's still been kind of working himself back. But nonetheless, I'd say, Chase, I was pretty impressed with the group. Some of the things that really stood out was, number one, Devin Tompkins. You know, we broke down his tape on here. Probably not one of his best performances against Iowa. Remember, we were a little critical of his ability to stop the run, you know, lack of strength at the point of attack. And it led me to have a number of questions on, you know, how he would look when he was asked to play down, you know, more of that three technique role, when he had to take on some doubles or some combo blocks. And I'll be the first one to tell you, man, I even went back and watched, because there's some people that still have those recordings from A-Day. I went back and really wanted to watch that group again, right? Because sometimes when you see it just in person, you only see so much. But I'll say this, man. I mean, he was a lot more physical than I gave him credit for. His ability to be strong at the point of attack and to be reliable, right, up front, you know, holding firm and not kind of getting pushed off the ball like some of those, you know, plays that I had seen on tape. I was really impressed with that. Like, we all knew the versatility that he has is going to be key. We all knew that as a pass rusher, he's going to offer you, you know, a little bit more athleticism than you might have seen, especially on the interior. But that was one big question mark that I had. And after seeing that out of him, I'm really excited about him this upcoming season. I know Clint had posted that, I don't know what the site or service was, but there was like a, I guess, projected draft. I don't know. I guess maybe like it had these guys like projections for the upcoming NFL draft, like a way too early deal. And I think he was like a, you know, round three or round four type guy. I could see that. I mean, I've been saying on the show, he kind of reminds me, I think you'll get similar outputs like LT Overton, right? I think that's a very similar thing. Now, he adds a little bit more versatility, given that he actually can really slide in and play the three technique. You didn't really see LT do that. You saw him slide and play a four eye. But I think a guy like Devin Tompkins is like, imagine an LT Overton, slightly bigger with a little bit more versatility. That's kind of what he reminds me of, which is important, because you think about it, LT Overton was a really important player for us last season. You know what I mean? And to know you have a guy that can at least probably match that, maybe give you even a little bit more production, I think that's definitely big for that defensive line unit. Moving on, we didn't see London Simmons, but watching his tape, I've been going back and watching some games from last season, man. He's just got a lot of upside to him. I think he could be one of our better defensive linemen that we have on this football team. I mentioned Jeremiah Beeman. We haven't seen him much just because he's still working back, but he was a guy that last season was pushing Tim Keenan for playing time. You know, before he got hurt, there was a chance that he was going to be taking some reps from Tim Keenan, which we know is a very dependable player. I mean, I get it. Nose guard isn't always, you know, the sexiest position. You're not going to see a whole bunch of stats and whatnot, but Tim was a good football player, and the fact that Jeremiah Beeman was kind of pushing him for some reps, I think, tells you a lot. Now, I do walk away from the spring still having some more to be desired in terms of their ability to generate pressure, right? I've been talking about that, and I just think it's so important. And I go on later in the article to talk about, you know, when you have a really good secondary, me and my dad say it all the time, like, you know, pass rush and pass coverage, they got to go hand in hand, right? I mean, you can have really good players in the secondary, but I don't care if you have a group of all pros. Those guys shouldn't be covering for 4, 5, 6 seconds at a time, Chase. I mean, that's tough for anybody, right? I mean, you got scramble drill. You know, if you're in man coverage, man, that's hard to stick and plaster a guy that long. So you got to be able to generate pressure, which I think this spring we did a good job of when we dialed up pressure. And there are sometimes too, just rushing for you saw it, but I think more consistently would be big. But overall, my thoughts on the defensive line unit, I definitely think that the other big takeaway I had was the fact that there's a lot of depth that's being built right there. I mean, guys like Steve Boumwah emerging, you know, I think Clint and some others kind of were, you know, mentioning him early on. And just going off what I had seen last season, I'd be the first one to tell you, like, I knew he had all these tools and, I mean, these traits that, I mean, a coach would drool over, but he just still hadn't put everything together. Now, I was just blown away this spring by how far along he's come in such a short amount of time. I mean, he was really impressive, very disruptive this spring. And I think you're starting to see those tools and traits start to come together. You know, he's been buying into the coaching. I think, you know, Cole, Freddie, then before Jamie left, all those guys are doing a really good job working with him, getting him to that point. And so you see guys like that. I mean, Faga, I think he's coming along nice. He's still got guys like Edric Hill. I mean, I would say there's 6 to 7 interior guys that you could see rotating in there that can give you quality snaps. Now, do I see a, you know, Jaren Reed, Jonathan Allen type player in there? Honestly, no. But I see a number of quality football players that I think if you have a by-committee approach, man, they can be really effective. And as long as they continue building off of that physicality that we saw a little bit of this spring, I think that'll be good. And start opening it up, man. I talk about pass rush, man. I really think if these guys start cutting it loose, man, sometimes you just got to get out of your head. You just got to get after it, man. I know I had that problem. I was trying to just play within the system so much. I didn't want to make mistakes. It was taken away from just my natural ability to just really, you know, wreak havoc. You know, I think some of those guys can just cut it loose a little bit more. It might help them out in terms of getting some pressure on the quarterback. But overall, definitely had some, you know, really nice takeaways from the spring regarding this defensive line going into the 2026 football season. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We'll talk a little bit about the linebackers, which we had one of the greatest linebackers in Alabama history on the show last week, a man by the name of Reuben Foster, who had some extremely high praise, Chase, for that linebacker group, which, you know, I walked away pretty impressed with this group out of the spring, but having Reuben's stamp of approval, man, I think that that made a lot of people feel a lot better about it. I mean, just judging by the reactions from Reuben on the show and them hearing that clip, man, they loved it. So we'll discuss the linebackers, then, of course, the secondary as we continue to do this post-spring Alabama defense breakdown right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTB.
Take care of any problems you got with a damp crawl space or a crack in your foundation. They even do pest control and lawn care. Full service Alabama Professional Services at alabamaprofessional.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more in
Essentials Choice 55, $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence Data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
WTBC. We're continuing with this 2026 post-spring Alabama defense breakdown. Again, you can check out the whole article that I did with Charlie over on Bama Online if you guys would like. We're discussing it. I'm kind of just summarizing it here on the show. But again, if you want to read it, go check them out on Bama Online. All right, so we just got finished discussing the defense, talking about some guys that stood out, the depth, right, the physicality that seemed to be going in the right direction, Chase. I always want to be clear. I don't want to oversell things, right? Like when I say, hey, we saw some physicality, I don't want to make it seem like, hey, you're going to see a group this fall where they're just, you know, ragged all them people and it looks totally, I wouldn't go that far now. But we're seeing some disruptiveness. We're seeing some of that. Like, again, I talked about Devin Tompkins, right? Had some question marks with that, you know, watching his tape. He's answered a lot of that. And he's gotten a lot better this spring already. Moving on to the linebackers, though. Again, we were joined by Reuben Foster last week. He had a lot of praise for this linebacker group here in Tuscaloosa. Again, I think he said he was here just 2 days. Now, I think some people thought he was here like the whole spring. I think he came in, ended up speaking to the team, was out there a little bit with them the day before A-Day. Then, of course, he attended A-Day. But nonetheless, he had time to really spend with this group, kind of, I guess, get to know them a little bit, maybe pour some wisdom in their ear. But I want to play this clip real quick. Again, we heard it last week, but for those that haven't heard it, this was Reuben Foster on the show detailing what he's seen out of some of these linebackers and a couple of the guys that he's most excited for this upcoming season. Are there any guys that you got the feel for while you were there that you said, hey, man, this guy might have something to him?
A lot, bro. It's some of them, I really don't know their names or whatever. I just know them by numbers and all that, trying to, you know, like, because all the names and stuff, I can't really remember. But I know personality and I know a good person. Mm-hmm. But like QB was one guy that I found my likeness to. Like,
yep.
He's I didn't get too much to talk to him because I just see his grind, his focus, and all of that. But he's a wonderful guy, and he got that dog in him. He's reminding me of myself, short, small. Underrated, you know what I'm saying, of his you know, his look, but get what he gonna bring it, you know. So I really like that. And boy, they got a white boy on the team, man. number four
Luke Metz. Yeah.
So you
like Luke Metz and QB Reese a lot.
Oh, that white boy gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a problem, boy. I know he's gonna be a problem. And the dude who transferred from Virginia on Virginia Tech, I like
Caleb Woodson.
Facts. Dude, it's just the whole atmosphere of the linebacker room, Duke. You know what I'm saying? It's just the whole atmosphere. The dude from Virginia Tech and the QB.
You're putting people on notice. So, I mean, listen, if they've got your stamp of approval, I think Bama fans are going to feel really good about that, because that is one position that there's been a lot of, I wouldn't call it concerns necessarily, but question marks, just not knowing because there's so many new faces. But I mean, we got one of the greatest linebackers in Alabama history here on our show saying that, hey, they got a couple guys that I'm giving my stamp of approval to, not just you know, as ball players, but the way they play with that intensity.
That's got to continue that season on consistency.
So there you go. That was my guy, Ruben, man. Shout out to Ruben, who joined the show last week, and he gave his thoughts on this linebacker group. Chase, so I guess we can kind of just go off of that. I won't add a whole bunch there, but some of the notable names that were brought up, QB Reese, who I like a lot. Like Ruben mentioned, a little bit undersized. Not the biggest guy, but when you watch him play, man, even going back to last season with the opportunities that he had, he has a knack for finding the football, right? I mean, he diagnoses things really quick. I feel like he's very instinctual. And listen, I think the athleticism, it shows. Now, Ruben said he reminds him of himself because small, undersized. I never thought of Ruben being undersized. I'm not going to lie to you. I was kind of confused on that part, though, because I was like, wait, Ruben, you think you're undersized? I mean, bro, I mean, you're 6'1" and a half. I mean, that's I guess you see some taller linebackers nowadays, but 6'1" and a half. And at one point, Ruben was like 250. I don't know if you guys remember that version of Ruben, but there was one point where Ruben was like 250. Then I think his senior year, he got back down to, he was probably like the 220s. I do remember him dropping some weight, and he really was flying around the football field. So maybe he's referring to that version of Ruben Foster. Nonetheless, QB Reese really strikes me as a guy that can go out there and definitely do some good things for this defense. I mean, again, just guys that flash on tape, he's one of them. And if you go back and watch those games where we saw the reserves last season, I would argue you would see 36 popping up. I mean, he just had a knack for finding the football. He was around the football consistently. So I went into the spring expecting him to probably be one of those guys that we see emerge. And that's exactly what I feel like has been seen. But not just him. Caleb Woodson, I would argue, probably stole the show this spring, just given that he comes in from Virginia Tech. He's a leader, right? He was a captain over there. I want to say he's a senior, so he's definitely played a number of, you know, snaps in college football. I think he started at Virginia Tech over the last two seasons. I had some question marks regarding him. Just, you know, he felt more like a wheel linebacker to me. I think he has a background as a defensive back. I mean, you see the athleticism. Now, he's a bigger guy. I think he's like 6'3", 6'4", got up to almost 240. I think he's around 238. But still, I kind of was wondering how he would transition here at Alabama, knowing that we still needed that green dot type of player, and I don't think that was really what he did at Virginia Tech. I could be wrong, but it always seemed to me he was more like a will linebacker. Well, regardless, you know, he stepped up this spring. He's been making a lot of plays. They've been really fired up about Caleb Woodson. So the two of those guys, I think you'll see a lot of this upcoming season. I do believe Caleb Woodson's probably like your, you know, penciled in starter right now, and is trying to figure out who's going to be in there with them, because not only have we seen QB Reese, but Luke Metz, just like Ruben mentioned there. I mean, he said he's going to be a problem. And you see the physicality that Luke plays with, right? I mean, he's just a tough backer. And I like that, right? I mean, we talk about these guys, you know, needing to show some more attitude. And when you got a player like that, man, it kind of sets a tone for the rest of the guys, especially at that linebacker position. So between those three, I think you got yourself a pretty solid group. Now, none of these guys have started, at least here. Again, Caleb Woodson is the only one with true starting experience. Granted, it was at another school. So it's going to be interesting to see them come along, right? But overall, a position that had a lot of question marks, Chase. I think people are a little bit more at ease coming out of the spring, especially having Ruben Foster kind of top it off and get fans excited with everything that he had to say. And he also did, he slid Duke's name in there. I know when he was on the show, he kind of talked about it. He said there's one play where like he kind of shied away from some contact, so we got to work on that part. And I would say that really for the whole group. Like, my biggest thing is, you know, getting back to being physical, downhill players, right? Not avoiding blocks. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything, but ultimately, you got to force the issue, right? Sometimes when you get caught avoiding blocks, which I thought we saw, like Deontay Lawson and some of those other backers doing that over the past couple of years, you know, you end up taking yourself out of position sometimes. If you're a great athlete, you see guys do it in the league, especially. Like, I mean, they can, you know, make their way around blocks, you know, slip back inside and they make a play. But it's kind of high risk, high reward, Chase. And I get every system's different. But for us, man, we were always trained, man. You put a hat on a hat, right? We're not trying to create running lanes. We're trying to force the issue. We're going to blow that guy up back into those holes so there is nowhere to run. So I think if that group can start playing with that type of mentality a little bit more, kind of like Ruben was describing, I think you got a chance at having a pretty solid linebacker group. And somebody had a, you know, I was talking with some buddies and we were talking about just defense, and they made an interesting point. They said, when you're building a football team, The most important part of your defense needs to be the trenches. Of course, we all agree on that. But then he even went further, Chase. He said, think about it, all the successful teams and all the great defenses. Out of all those teams, how many of them can you name, like, these starting linebackers versus the guys up front? Or maybe, like, the corners? And I was like, dang, he kind of has got a good point. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you could just get away with anybody at linebacker because you still need a dude. But to be fair, when you have a really good play up front, you can kind of get away with maybe not having elite linebacker play, so to speak. It's kind of an interesting point that just came up in a conversation this weekend. But all that said, I am excited about this linebacker group. And, of course, I'm going to lump in here real quick the Wolves, right? I know we talked a little bit about the Bandits with the defensive line, but we got to say the best for last, Chase. The Wolves. Yonzapierre, you know, returning leader in sacks last season. We know what he can do off the edge. He really, you know, emerged last season. I was really impressed with just how much better he got as the season went on. And I talked with Charlie about that in his article. You know, I know from firsthand as an edge rusher, man, you got to figure out your rush, right? I mean, pass rush is like an art. You have a plan. You have your fastball. You have your counter move, you know, built off of it. And the more reps you get, you start getting a better feel for it. You start getting a better feel for how these tackles set differently, right? Am I getting a jump set, right? As he said, is he getting real high in his set, right? Do I need to convert to power here, right? Is he going to shoot his hands, right? Like, there's so many different things that you pick up on, those little tendencies. And I think what you saw out of Yonze was we always knew he had natural ability, but the more reps he got, he started getting a better feel for his rush and he really came along. I'm excited to see him build off of that this upcoming season. But I keep saying this, man. To me, Justin Hill, I mean, you just watch him play football. I know he plays a lot on early downs because he's a very physical player. He's very disruptive. I just truly believe, man, there's so much more you can get out of him from a pass rush standpoint. Now, to me, looking at him, he's a speed to power type guy. That's his thing. And there's really nothing wrong with that. We just got to build on that, right? If we're going to go to speed to power, we can't rush. We got to still rush half a man. We got to convert it. We got to set it up. We can't just run down the middle, guys. And I think the more he puts his pass rush together, I think the number one is going to help him, because I think that's what's separating him from being like an elite outside linebacker. And there's going to be some guys, you're going to have some guys that are elite run defenders. They're not the best at pass rush, but to me, he reminds me, like, I'm not comparing him to Will Anderson in this sense, but what I'm saying is if you watch Will Anderson was a speed to power guy. Will Anderson did not work a whole bunch of moves. He added his swipe in there. He started working, you know, two-hand swipe a little bit. But realistically, Chase, he just wanted to run down the middle of people and just run through their face. And he was highly effective at that. I mean, I think Justin Hill could even build off of that a little bit. Like, if he's going to be a speed-to-power guy, we just got to work with him on really setting it up. And I think if he can take those steps as a pass rusher, I keep saying this. I know a lot of people are focused on Zulu, and I talk about him a little bit here. I think Zulu can give you some reps, and I think he's a little bit better than I initially thought he was watching his tape. But he's also, I mean, he's got, you know, 1.5 sacks throughout his career, and he's playing like 37 games. Like, I talk about it, he's not the most explosive. He's got, you know, big, long strides. I mean, he can get to that spot, but he doesn't strike me as somebody who's really stressing you off the edge. And then he's also not very powerful. So what I'm getting at is I don't know how much you're really going to get out of him. I think he can be effective, but I think Justin Hill has a lot of untapped potential. And I think if he takes those next steps as a pass rusher, it's only going to make this defense better, because you just look at whether it's, you know, Devin Tompkins slide into three, having Yonzi out there, you get one more guy on that other side that can really threaten those tackles off the edge. I mean, we're cooking with hot grease, Chase. And I like London Simmons too. I mean, I think he's going to be effective as well. So there's a lot of potential there. And then I got to throw in my guy, Xavier Griffin. I was talking about it before A-Day, and I think that's why you saw that some of those reps he had coming off the edge, man. I think that's an early way to get him on this field. He's got that quick twitch ability that you don't really see in that outside backer room right now. And truly, I think he'll get better and better. I mean, he's putting in the work, obviously. He's already got like 220-some pounds. I think he can be highly effective as an extra guy coming off the edge at some point this football season. So that concludes our front seven recap, which, again, probably the biggest question mark of the spring for this defense, knowing that you pretty much return all your production in the secondary. So what was the front seven going to look like? And I'll be honest, I think there's a lot of positives to take away on this front seven unit coming out of the spring. And I'll hit on some more notes that I might have missed, like Zulu. I do think he's kind of like that third backer you'll see in there. I do believe they'll do things kind of like getting multiple outside backers on the field, whether it's going to some 3-4 looks on early downs, having two outside backers in there, help bolstering those edges, or even just getting, you know, maybe a guy like Zulu for some more athleticism at Bandit while still keeping Yanze in there. Got two more athletic guys out there, and I think that could be effective as well. So I do think this front seven and some of these schemes that you see defensively could adapt and change a little bit to really maximize the personnel that they're working with this upcoming year. That said, we got to hit a timeout. Thank you, Chase, for being patient. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this whole thing because we got to hit the secondary unit. And then we'll start talking about a few more things. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get in on the conversation. Always check us out on the streams. At the Miller's Edge on YouTube, on X, and, of course, on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as well. Quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We hit the secondary next right here on the Miller's Edge.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of the game, we're going to open up a new conversation around the top offensive players around the University of Alabama. We'll break that down. Presented by DanielMoreArt.com on the Monday edition of the game. We'll talk to Brittany Army. We'll also talk with Mark Houston. All starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6.
Arthritis, joint pain, and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless
best quality to our customers. So we just look at it as, hey, basically, we're your kitchen. You're just coming to eat in your kitchen. Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 78. For tonight, mostly clear with a low at 55. For tomorrow, partially sunny, the high 79. Wednesday, increasingly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon, the high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Title 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we have to finish talking about the secondary to finish our recap in this post-spring Alabama defense breakdown. But, Chase, we got to hit a top of the hour break in about 30 seconds. So we'll do that when we come out of the top of the hour break. We'll put a bow on our defensive breakdown, and we'll start talking about a couple other things. Again, I mentioned some of those conversations that had come up I am curious about y'all's thoughts in that whole comparison between Julio Jones and Jeremiah Smith. I'll put the numbers on the screen here a little bit later and we can discuss it. Plus, shout out to our guy, Dwight, who just tagged us in something over on X. It looks like Kane Womack was speaking to the media. So maybe that's how we'll finish this whole post-spring breakdown, right? We'll hear from the defensive coordinator. Now, I don't know how long it is. I think it's just a couple of minutes, but he gave his thoughts on where the defense stands and his goals for the summer now that spring practice is over. So very fitting. So shout out to Dwight, man. I mean, we're doing our post-spring defensive breakdown, and we'll let Kane Womack kind of, you know, close it out for us when we come back after this top of the hour break right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The NBA playoffs first round ended with a couple of Game 7s on Sunday. Detroit at home eliminated Orlando 116-94. Cade Cunningham, 32 points, 12 assists. Then Cleveland came back for a home win against Toronto in a Game 7, 114-102. Jared Allen, 22 points, 19 rebounds. Cleveland now goes to number one seed Detroit for a Game 1 of the next round Tuesday. The second round in the NBA starts Monday, including Minnesota at San Antonio. Minnesota star Anthony Edwards was upgraded to questionable with the knee injury. In the NHL playoffs, Colorado won 9-6 over Minnesota in their second round opener, 14 different goal scores. The first round ended with Montreal's Game 7 victory at Tampa Bay, 2-1. Cameron Young won by 6 strokes in Miami. NASCAR win at Texas for Chase Elliott. Sunday night ball game went to the Detroit Tigers, 7-1 over Texas.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got to put a bow on this 2026 post-spring Alabama defense breakdown, Chase. We went through the defensive line. We went through the linebacker unit. And now we got to do the secondary. Then we'll hear from defensive coordinator Kane Womack, who, judging by the clip, I don't know if he's on a golf course or he's somewhere, but he spoke about his defense, and it's very fitting for what we're talking about now. So we'll do that. In regards to the secondary come out of post-spring, man, somebody just asked a question about the depth. I think it's easy to say that this secondary unit has a lot of good football players in it, Chase. You return virtually all your production from last season outside of Damani Jackson, who was a sixth-round draft pick, to the Green Bay Packers. You do lose Deshaun Jones and a couple guys via the transfer portal. But in terms of the starters returning, you know, DJ Lee, who slowly was kind of, I don't want to necessarily say taking that spot from Damani, but he was a co-starter. By the end of the year, I mean, he pretty much probably started about half the season, if I had to guess. Him and Xavier Brown are back, so both your corners are there, and both your safeties that were starters last football season, Keon Sabb and Bray Hubbard, both are returning. Now, you know, one thing about the spring is you have a lot of guys that had operations in the offseason. They might be a little bit banged up, so they're going to be limited or held out, which means there's going to be more opportunities for players like, you know, young guys, whether it's a guy like, well, Carmelo O'Neal, who transferred in from, was it Mercer, I believe, and Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. and Ivan Taylor, two young safeties, got a lot of reps with Bray Hubbard being limited or out this spring. And with that said, I'll be honest with you, I think this group has a chance to be one of the best units in the country. I think in the conference, they definitely are up there with the best of them. You know, nationally, you look at Notre Dame, and they definitely got some players in that group. But I think top to bottom, Chase, this group is probably has the most length out of any secondary that I've seen in quite some time. I mean, you've got three corners that are DJ Lee's like 6'4", Carmelo O'Neal's like 6'4", in that range. Javian Brown, I think, is like 6'2". I mean, you got some serious length in this secondary. You got some guys that I've seen play physical. Xavier Brown has done some things where he's come up and run support, and I thought he showed some good stuff. I wouldn't say it's, you know, Marlon Humphrey-esque, but, you know, for a cornerback, I mean, he showed some physicality. Same with DJ Lee. Now, I think the secondary also fits really what they want to do defensively. Their big zone scheme, right? You know, cover three is one of their big ones. They play some cover two a lot. They like zone coverage, you know, vision-based coverage. And I think when you have corners and defensive backs that fit the bill like this, I think they're going to really excel. That said, I mean, I do think a guy like Xavier Brown will do fine in man-to-man. And I think DJ Lee can hold his own. I mean, I don't think that's the world he wants to live in there. But overall, I think you have a lot of versatility in this unit. We talked about Jaire Edwards, who's kind of like that Swiss Army knife, a bigger safety, a guy that can come down and play in the box on dime packages, maybe be more of a dime linebacker. I think there's just a lot to work with this unit. And, you know, Carmelo O'Neal coming in from Mercer. I mean, that's some really good depth you just added there that fits the mold of what you're looking for in the secondary unit, because we all know the guys that are going to be the starters. But to know you have Ivan Taylor, Drake Kirkpatrick, Carmelo O'Neal, even, you know, Jordan Edmonds, I think he's like a five-star freshman, just got here. He even did some really good things. So when you have a two deep that's that deep in terms of just what they can do and what they can really provide for your defense, man, I don't see how you're anything but excited about that unit. I think they'll be very productive. I mean, Bray Hubbard was extremely productive last season. I know somebody mentioned Ivan Taylor and maybe him starting to maybe push some guys for some playing time. I would not be shocked by that. I don't know exactly how that looks. I mean, it's not easy to replace a veteran, that a guy like Keon Sabb, who's going to be a leader on your team, has a lot of experience, one of the only guys on this team that's won a national championship. However, when you have a young player like Ivan Taylor, who's been doing things that have been very impressive, it is going to be hard to maybe keep him off the football field. And I know there's been some moments, whether it was due to injury or whatnot, that Keon Sabb has been a little inconsistent. So it wouldn't shock me if you saw something like that at some point. Maybe not necessarily a Damani Jackson, DJ Lee situation, but maybe along the lines of it. But I do know at the end of the day, this staff is not afraid to rotate football players. That was one of the things that stood out to me the first year that they got here. I remember we were rotating cornerbacks, and I was like, I've never seen a defense really anywhere rotate secondary players as much as we were. Like, maybe, okay, here and there, especially with the change of personnel. But this was more like, all right, one series, we got this group. The next series, we're running with a whole different group out there. It's pretty interesting to see. When you have this much depth, I'm sure they'll probably have that in the back of their mind as well. So overall, I think the secondary is clearly the strong suit of this defense. And if they can get some pass rush to help them out up front, man, I think you're looking at a defense that can be very productive, very effective. Definitely some things you still need to iron out, some consistency, some more physicality, right? Showing up and doing it day in and day out. But the potential's there. And I walked away impressed this spring with this defense and what they could look like in 2026. Now, just some overall notes. I kind of hit on it earlier, but just to recap, I think you'll see some shifts, maybe a couple different looks defensively, whether some more 3-4 looks on earlier downs, right? Just really trying to utilize the guys that you have. You got some big, long outside backers that have versatility. I think they'll try to find ways to really implement that. They've shown some more looks like that, some more 3-4 looks on early downs, and I think it makes total sense given the versatility that this group has. And I'm excited to see it. And we know Kane Womack, he's not afraid to be aggressive, right? So I think they'll continue dialing up some more packages, getting some plays in there that can really generate some pressure and get after the quarterback. So we'll have to see some of that this upcoming season. But I can get the vibe that they've kind of experimented with doing some things a little bit differently, and we'll see how that looks come this fall. So that said, let's go ahead and hear from the defensive coordinator, Chase, who spoke to, it looks like, AL.com. Again, I haven't even seen this. Dwight just tagged us in this. Thank you, Dwight. But let's see what Kane Womack had to say when he talked about where this defense stands following the spring and some of his goals that he has for the summer.
Well, you know, it's just nice when you go into year three. There's a lot of continuity. You know, we've got a lot of returning starters on our back end, a lot of young guys that are pushing some of those guys as well, which is really great. And you know, we've kind of gotten the defensive line in a position to where we've got more mass. Some older guys. Transfer portal's been really good to us. So having some of those guys in, coupled with our back end, I think there's a lot of continuity. There's a lot of excitement within the group and confidence in each other. And so it's fun to kind of go through spring with that group of guys that knows the expectation and kind of sets the tone early and often.
No spring portal, which is a good news. What's the next couple months going to be like for you guys?
Well, you know, this is obviously a different time of and phase than what it was a year ago. You know, there were so many variables coming out of spring football, trying to retain your roster, trying to add pieces that you needed. You know, we're really in a pretty good place as a defense. And so to just have the comfort in knowing that you're going to be able to develop these players and retain all these players coming out of spring is great. And so now our attention gets to really focus in on some of this high school class and get the best young high school players in the country, which has always been the recipe for success.
So there you have it. That was Kane Womack talking at a golf tournament to AL.com and discussed some of his thoughts coming out of the spring with his unit. A couple notes that he hit on, Chase, that They have more mass and more experience up front on their defensive line. Sounds like he's excited about that. It is evident when you look guys like Terrence Green coming in, like 6'5", 320. You look at, you know, Devin Tompkins, who they're utilizing both at Bandit, which, you know, requires him to play a 5'6" technique, but also slide down to a 4-eye. Then, of course, we've seen him kick down and just play D-tackle as well. So when you put him at either of those spots, I mean, he can hold his own, right? I mean, he's like 298, right? Which if he's at Bandit, he's, I'm not saying oversized, but he's definitely like a plus-size Bandit. Then at D-tackle, 298, I mean, that's no slouch. I mean, that's pretty par for the course, I would say, especially in today's game as well. So it sounds like they had a plan. They feel like they're kind of on track with what they were set out to do with the transfer portal, filling some needs and getting some guys in there. And we'll have to see how it all continues to come together. Like you said, over the next few months, they want to keep attacking things and really just kind of getting to where they need to be this upcoming fall. But one thing we can say, Chase, you know, there are some inconsistencies as a football team, even on defense, but they've probably been the most consistent over the past 2 years out of, you know, between the two, right? If you just look at defensively what we've done, haven't been perfect, but I think consistently they've done a solid job, and hopefully they can continue to build off of that going into 2026. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get on the conversation. Plus, we got to talk a little bit about some of these things that have come up, whether it's comparisons to these players or even to schools, man. We'll talk about that when we come up. Come back right here on this. Come back right after this timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today 78. For tonight, mostly clear with a low of 55. For tomorrow, partially sunny, the high 79. Wednesday, increasingly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon, the high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just finished our recap for the post-spring Alabama defense breakdown. If you guys missed that, just rewind a little bit. I'll probably clip it and then post it separately for all you guys that do miss the streams or just don't want to scroll through a two-hour long live stream. Don't blame me there. But we have another clip that we got tagged in from Dwight. This one is Roman Harper down to the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame, and he was speaking a little bit about that whole process, then also, you know, Alabama, his time with the Saints. But he was asked about Alabama going into year three. So let's go ahead and hear from Roman Harper, a friend of ours here on the show, SEC Network analyst, and of course, a former Alabama great as well. Let's hear what he had to say regarding Alabama going into the third season under Kalen DeBoer.
Well, year three should be a year of improvement. I talked to a lot of the coaches and staff and people around the team last year that, you know, last year's success was almost, they're not going to admit this, a little bit of a surprise to them. I don't think they were always thinking that they were ready. They always thought that they were one more year away. And so with the transfer portal being the way it has been since Kalen DeBoer got there, now once he got there, things have calmed down. But when he first left, it was a big mass of leaving early when Nick left, and understandably so. And so anytime you replace the GOAT, it has not worked in any other sport or any other time. And it's a hard job. And so Kalen has signed up for that job. I'm happy and excited that he signed the extension because, you know, if you like the one you're with, stay with him. And so let's continue to work at this thing. And it's not an easy job. You're the first team to win a road game in the playoffs in college football history since they've been doing the 12-team playoffs or any of the playoffs at homes. And so that's a check mark in the right box. This team has steadily gotten just a little bit better. They didn't go to the playoffs the first year. They went to the playoffs, won a road game. Now, they got their butt kicked versus Indiana. But, hey, you line up and you play it again. Like, that's just what you do. And so this year, hopefully, we'll see how they do, especially with a lot of the pieces on defense coming back. I mean, the secondary is going to be stacked. We'll see what happens at linebacker. And then Yanze Pierre and a couple of these guys got to continue to grow up front. And I know they hit the portal kind of hard on the defensive line, offensive line. Alabama, for me, they have to be able to answer a couple of questions. How tough are you? You got to be a tougher team mentally and physically. And when you check that box, I think Alabama will be what Alabama's supposed to be, but you got to be able to run the football. And I think the biggest play to me was that Indiana game, 4th-and-1 early in that game. And instead of being able to just grind it out and go get 1 yard, you're on a speed sweep. It's like just not traditional what we're used to seeing. So that has to change. I think that really starts up front and physically and mentally as well.
Well, Chase, I mean, he just was spitting some facts there. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I detected no lies there. I mean, number one, it's a very fair question. And two, I think that's probably the most important question. I mean, like, how tough are you as a football team? And he gave the example. I think we all can agree on that. I mean, when it's 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, I mean, you're running, you know, you're in Wildcat, running like a jet sweep or whatever it was. I mean, I think that's just very telling. You know what I mean? Then hopefully that's better. Now, I know, you know, Coach DeBoer has been asked a million times, including here on our show, going, hey, you know, the running game, what's being done? And it sounds like they're working at that. As a matter of fact, I think Mike Rodak had wrote an article that I read this morning that was talking about, I guess Coach DeBoer was on Greg and Mac's show, or Mac and Cube, I'm sorry, at the golf tournament, something like that. But he was basically talking about the mentality and that having to kind of set the tone when it comes to these things, which is all true. But to Roman's point, I mean, that is a big question. I mean, like, what are they doing anything different to really enforce that? If so, what does that look like? I would be curious. You know what I mean? Like, practice habits, are you know what I mean? Like, I'll say this. I know, like, Coach Ballou, like, in the weight room, like, I mean, he, like, after, what was it? I think going into this offseason or whenever it was, like, I remember them, like, people were talking about that. Like, there was no games being played. Like, they're, so I know on that front, they're trying to do some more, but it's interesting, man. But then you hear other things where, like, all right, for example, like, I think Ruben made a comment, like, you know, not necessarily one to jump a guy too hard. You know, like, so it's kind of like, I feel like if you're wanting to establish that toughness, Chase, I mean, those are some of the uncomfortable things that you're just going to have to do. And I know that might not really be exactly what some of the people on staff want to do, but I think if you really want to build a football team that displays and plays with that level of intensity and has that mentality, Chase, you got to do some of that. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit of tough love ain't going to hurt nobody. I mean, me and Ruben were joking about on here, like, I don't think there was anything that we could have done to actually impress Coach Saban. Like, you win the Heisman, like, he'll sit there and smile and, like, you know, be happy. That I'm telling you right now, Chase, the next day, if whoever just won that Heisman, like, just did something, it would just be as if, like, I don't give a crap what you just won. that's exactly how it felt. But it was funny, me and Ruben were joking about this, but it made us, like, strive to just, like, everything we wanted to do. And not like you're trying to get his approval, but you know what I mean? Like, when you have that type of standard and that type of, like for me, like, I, like, Coach Saban always viewed me as a guy that could handle a lot, you know, a smarter player, that, like, he would have expectations that are, like, I'm not going to have many mental mistakes, and that he expects me to be able to sit there and go out there and get all of our other guys, you know, in the right position to do all these things, to the point where if I made one, like, I Chase, I'm talking, it'd be a very understandable mistake. I'll give you an example. We always, before practice, would do, like, like it's called like walk, right? Like we go outside or before we do like stretch and all that stuff, we would just kind of walk through some of our install that we're going to, you know, go over for the day at practice. And half the time, man, like our position coach would not get everything, you know, to us in like with the time we had in meetings, right? Like we'd spend so much time on pass rush or certain other calls, we would like skip over some of the coverage concepts that we needed to know because it's like, all right, you know, we might go out there, have to walk and go play this coverage just a couple of times during practice. So that was, it wasn't as much a priority. But the problem, Chase, was that was the hardest thing for us because we didn't do it a whole bunch. Like, I didn't know all these coverage calls or, all right, man, we started doubles and they motion the trips. Now we're getting to this check and I got to communicate with this guy what we're doing here and how that coverage is going. Man, like without somebody telling me that, I don't know this stuff because we're not safeties. We're not corners. So long story short, it would be something like that where it would be very understandable, man. They motion, they do some crazy for, they line up an FIB. We have an FIB check. They get out of it. I'm like, wait, hold on. We're getting out of this. What are we going to here? I'm just sitting there looking around. Man, this dude would rip me a new one. And I'm just sitting there thinking in my head, you really think I'm supposed to just like know all these things? I'm like, brother, I play outside backer. My coach didn't even tell me this. What I'm getting at it didn't matter who you were, what it was, man. And I think that level of intensity and just that demand that was there, it gave you no choice. Because guess what, Chase? Best believe, even though it wasn't taught to me, I made sure as soon as I got off, went from there, I went right to my coach, man, hey, walk me through this real quick because all we got to do is at practice and I am not about to get chewed out again. So guess what? I learned it because I didn't want to keep getting ripped a new one. So I don't know. I think sometimes, I guess my point is you got to have a little bit of tough love if you do want to build that type of, I guess, culture and intensity, which is needed. You have to, I don't think you can really go all the way if you don't have it. Would you agree, Chase?
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, Christian, like that level of intensity and coaching, do you feel that that is something that's not going to be known anymore because of the mentality? A lot of these players were, not saying they're like weak or anything like that, because playing in college and NFL, that's one of the hardest things to do, but because they have the option to leave, you know, if they don't like to be where they coach or, you know, I can get money elsewhere, I don't have to listen to said player, I mean, not said player, said coaching or whatever the position is. Do you feel like that's going to be a coach's downfall because of how hard they're coaching? You know, I know you and your dad have talked about it over and over, and I know people don't like it, but it is something that we're in that era where, like, the players kind of have a little bit more power than we realize, if you feel I'm going with.
Yeah, no, I'm picking up what you're putting down, and they do. I'll give an example. Speaking so much of Jeremiah Smith, again, he's all over my timeline. I don't know, man. Maybe it's trying to signal that, I don't know, they think I'm an Ohio State fan all of a sudden. I'm definitely not. But he was talking about it. He was down at, number one, he was down at F1 down in Miami. He's down at F1, which we all know all the celebrities go hang out down there, which I guess you can call him a celebrity at this point. They're asking him about, man, what's your dream car? Just like we were talking about the NFL draft, they're asking that question. We need to stop asking these guys this question. They don't have dream cars. If you're like a first-round type of player, these guys already have it. Same thing with him. Oh, I already have it. He didn't say it like that. He was very respectful with it, I want to be clear. But he said a Lamborghini Urus. He bought it last year. So he's going into his junior year. So going into his sophomore year, I mean, dude's driving a Lamborghini Urus around Ohio State. And then, you know, I like watches, right? I don't really, you know, have any nice watches like that. I haven't invested in one yet. Maybe one day I will. But I know a lot about them. I'm looking at his wrist. I'm like, God, wait, hold on. That's a nice watch. So my point is, Chase, you're 100% right. I mean, listen, it is different. Like, even Coach Saban, I watched Coach Saban, like, during his, I guess, last couple years. He was even, like, we used to joke around and be like, man, Coach got a little bit soft, man. Not completely. He still had it to him, but you could just tell his style was shifting a little bit, whether it was due to age, whether it was due to, hey, man, this is a new world we're living in. I mean, I even know, like, they've done a lot of things. I talked with Coach DeBoer last offseason. He was telling me, I mean, they have a process of, you know, they have their players meet with, I don't know if it would be necessarily like a sports psychologist or who's exactly running it, but, and this is a very common thing. It's not just here, but they've got it to where they have their players meet with someone that can really like give an assessment on, hey, this type of player responds best to this. That way the coaching staff will know hey, this guy, he responds more to, you know, tough coaching, tough love. This guy, you got to be a little bit more, I guess, cautious with how you deliver your message. Like, and I'm kind of just giving you guys a little bit of a, that's not exactly how it was detailed, but you get the point. Basically, just to get to know their players better individually so they can better coach these guys. And when Coach DeBoer was telling me that, I was like, man, that's definitely interesting. It makes total sense. And I think that helps you as a football coach and really just anybody. I mean, you just talk about just communication. That's so important in life, right? Whether it's work, relationships, whatever. So why wouldn't that work on the football field? But my point is, yes, you're right. It is different. And even some of the coaches that have always been these, you know, tough as nails type guys, I feel like they've even had to probably shift and adapt a little bit as well, because it's just the world we're living in. Like I just mentioned, I mean, you got dudes driving Uruses, and I mean, like, that's crazy. Dude, there's players that are making more than their own coaches in college. You see it in the NFL, sure, but in college, that's a whole new world, whole new ballgame. So I think you just have to, I think at the end of the day, Chase, what's our motto here on the show? Balance, right? I mean, it's just about finding a good balance. Like, I don't think you should let that get you too far off of, hey, we need to be tough on our guys, right? Because at the end of the day, man, football is about toughness, grit, going out there, being physical. I mean, that's what the sport entails. And if it was me, like, I understand having, like, a little bit of that balance. But at the end of the day, man, I want my football team to be tough. And if that means I just have to recruit certain guys, like, if I'm – that would be one of the biggest things that I will look for in recruiting when I'm vetting a player. I would try to figure out, just like they do when you're, you know, you're a draft pick and they're trying to figure you out. I'd ask guys when they're on recruiting visits or whatever, how do you respond to tough coaching? Because, I mean, I'll be honest, like Coach Saban kind of basically just laid it out for you. Like, they used to, like, you know, they used to treat you real good on visits. Don't get me wrong. But they weren't hiding nothing. I mean, when you went out to practice and stuff, I mean, you kind of knew, like, all right, we're going to take care of you while you're on these visits, ride you in the golf car, feed you great food. But when you ask us on this practice field, we're going to rip you a new one. I mean, there was no hiding that. So, I don't know. I think it's just a little bit different, like you mentioned, but you just got to find the right balance with it. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We're going to go to the phone lines. We got Ellis. We got Smitty. All those guys coming up, plus a couple other things we'll hit right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12:30.
I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Chase, I think, man, listen, we keep on rolling here. Maybe one day we'll both get ourselves a GMT Rolex. Listen, we're a long ways out from that. I ain't gonna lie to you. Did you see the price on that watch? That was a used one, Chase. I think it was going for like $23,000, man.
$23,000. That's a car.
Yeah, you're wearing a car on your wrist, literally. But what's crazy is when these people say they have houses on their wrist, man. You see some of these athletes legit actually doing that, man. Some of these watches nowadays, yeah, they're up there. Anyway, we'll get to that conversation here in a second. But first, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up first. Ellis, welcome in.
My watch is my cell phone.
You know what? Somebody else just said that in the chat. And listen, my watch is my Apple Watch that has a cracked screen. I'm still rocking with it. I mean, it's been damn near ran over at this point, but it allows me to track my sleep, right? It allows me to keep up with my steps and all these other exercise goals and fitness goals. So that's what I use. And I'll be honest, I actually enjoy it. Now, it ain't no $23,000 Rolex, but a Rolex can't tell me how well I slept last night or how many steps I've taken. So I count that as a win.
No. Yeah, like my phone, you know, it told me how many steps I took Saturday, and it was 26,000 and something steps.
26,000 steps? Hold on, in the weekend or the whole day? What are we, you talking about one day?
The whole day, from the time I got up to the time I got home and sat down in my easy chair. I did an 8-mile hike up in the mountains Saturday.
Okay, that makes sense. I was going to say, I mean, that's what some people get in a week sometimes, brother. I mean, that's good. Yeah. That's why you're going strong, though, man. That's why you look good. You're in good shape, man. It makes sense, man. 26,000 a day, that's impressive.
Yeah. I went I was up there at 8:30 Saturday morning and didn't come out of the woods until 2:30 Saturday evening.
Dang. Well, good for you, man. I'm sure the weather was nice. I know it's been nice around here. Hopefully it hadn't been too hot now. Make sure you hydrate, Ellis. I mean, 26,000 steps.
I said plenty of water and stuff to snack on.
Good, man.
It was strenuous in some parts because you're going straight up the mountain, you know.
Hey, well, good for
stepping
you, man.
Stepping on rock, roots, you know, but you get to see nature. You can see if you go on my X account, you'll see some pictures. I posted several spots. It's beautiful. It was beautiful. But you were talking about players a while ago, and you mentioned Kirkpatrick's son's name. I'm telling you, better watch out for him, Christian.
You talking about Drake Kirkpatrick Jr.?
Yes, better watch out for him
this year. No, yeah. Listen, I'm all on board, man. I'm with you. You know, Roman brought him up. I asked if there is, you know, any other guys outside of the linebacker position that he was impressed with, and he said Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. And I agree 100% with him. I mean, he's kind of got that old school DNA to him. You know, his pops played for Coach Saban in a decade in the league. His pops was the dog, and you just see that physicality, that intensity that he plays with as well, right? I mean, like father, like son. I like him a lot, man, and I think he's definitely going to earn some more opportunities. Hey, similar to QB Reese, I remember seeing him out there. I mean, he just had a knack for the football. I think he's, like, forced a fumble, pick one up. I mean, like, guys like that consistently flash, man, they're, you know, good football players, right? They're going to make plays, and that's what's important.
Yeah. Along with him and the other ones we got back there, I'm just high on him, though. You know, and another thing, you know, he went through the problem he had, you know, everybody has days like that. You do something wrong, you wish you hadn't, but he overcome it, and he's showing, you know, what he can do. And he's going to show up and show out this year.
Yeah, I think he will earn himself some opportunities for sure, man. I like him a lot. I think he definitely has a good chance to see the field even more, for sure.
Yeah. And I had one more thing. I had somebody give me a statue of an elephant made out of cement. It's about knee high. Yeah, and it was all faded. Yeah, it was all faded and everything. So I got it painted up and even painted a tusk white. So
that sounds pretty heavy, though. I mean, it's a cement statue that's knee high. I mean, you need a trailer for
that? It is heavy. Yeah, it is heavy, but I picked it up.
Wait, whoa. So not only you got good endurance walking 26,000 steps, but you clearly are pretty strong there, Ellis.
I don't think I'm real strong.
That's all right, man. Next time you're down here for one of these J Alabama events, man, we'll sneak in that weight room and we'll get you strong, man. We'll put you under that squat rack. We'll hit the bench. We'll get you we'll put you on an Alabama football strength program. How's that sound?
That's good. Get me to squatting about 500 pounds.
Whoa, brother. Whoa, hold on now. You're going to have to sign a waiver for all that, brother. Put you under 500, brother. I ain't trying to kill you now. I mean, 500, Phyllis. I mean, I don't even know if I was around 500 consistently. I'm tall. That was tough for me, though. And I mean, if you want to work up there, maybe. We're going to start.
No, I wasn't.
the mechanics, man. We got to start with the bar first. We're going to work with the bar.
No.
Our mechanics, our fundamentals, right? And then we'll maybe put a little quarter on there, put a plate on there, make sure we're doing it the right way. I can't put you on a 500, Ellis. Ellis, you might turn to bones if I do that, brother.
Oh, I would. My bones would just crack.
Yeah. Yeah, you might just literally just turn to bones, brother. Yeah, we can't do that. Well, Ellis, man, I hope you get a chance to maybe rest up a little bit if you need it. If not, man, I'm sure you'll be right back at work or back hitting those steps this week.
Oh,
man,
I'm at work right now.
I wouldn't have guessed anything else.
And I do my steps this evening when I get out for work.
There you go, man. I love it. Well, you're inspiring me, man. I've been trying to get my steps in, but I think the max I've hit is like 8,000-9,000 the last couple of weeks, man. I don't know, like 26,000, brother. I mean, you might as well walk and come hang out with me. If you own 26,000 steps, you probably come make it over to Lamper of the Law Studios and come hang out with me for a little bit.
Yeah. but I'm serious. I wouldn't lie to you. It was 26,000 and something steps.
No, you know, listen, I believe you. I you're one man, Ellis. I take your word for it, brother. You ain't got to worry about that. You ain't never told me no lie.
I wouldn't lie to you about doing an 8-mile hike in the woods because I did it because I felt it when I come out of there.
So. Hey, well, listen, man. Hey, you go to polardive.com, man. And listen, these cold tubs that they have, I got one here at my house. They help you recover, get you, you know, refreshed and rejuvenated, man. And I know you're a country guy, so, I mean, maybe you just get your little wheelbarrow or something and fill it up with some ice or, I don't know, something where you could fit in there in a tub. Yep. Or go in and find you one of those, like, springs that you go hang out with them. But it's got to be cold, man. That'll help you out with your muscles.
Well, I'm going there tomorrow. I'm going there Wednesday where the cave is. So.
Well, there you go. Find you a cold spot in there. Just go plunge down in there to your shoulders. You get out of there about 5 minutes, man. Your body will be brand new.
I'll do that. I might just do that Wednesday, then I'll let you know how it went.
Please do, man. I'm looking forward to it. Ellis, I appreciate you, brother.
All right. RTR.
Yes, sir. RTR. That's a new one. Wait, that's new, Chase. Normally it's Roll Tide, but he abbreviated it. Ellis switching up on us. He just said RTR. He's trying to be cool, huh? 2026. Ellis said it's new year, new me, even though we're like halfway through the year, which is kind of crazy to think about, Chase. That's crazy. All right, we got to hit a timeout. Before we do that, let me remind you about our friends over at Lamper of the Law. Of course, I'm hanging out in Lamper of the Law Studios right here. Lamper of the Law, founded by attorney and professor Mr. Adam Lamparello. You hear from him every Thursday. Hey, new website has just launched. Make sure you guys go check that out, lamparello-law.com. It's got all that great information right there for you, including prices, which they will beat out any other service. And again, I say service because not only do they offer that representation, whether it's criminal defense, NIL, academic misconduct, but they also do things like educational consulting, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, and so much more. High school graduate and college students, make sure you guys check them out. 201-335-6691 is the phone number. You can always email adam@lamparello-law.com. Or just check out the website where you can get all that great information. Lamparello-law.com. Again, that's Lamparello Law, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got Smitty, and we'll wrap things up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to open up a new conversation around the top offensive players around the University of Alabama. We'll break that down, presented by DanielMoreArt.com. On the Monday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Brittany Norman. We'll also talk to Mark Houston. All starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays.
You get tickets now at ProRiverResort.com. Don't miss Drew Hill.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's see, we got Smitty still hanging out on the line. Smitty, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. What's up, Smitty?
Man, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Man, I can't call it, man. Talk to me. What you got for me?
First things first, the way your dad's been rolling lately, what surprised me, he had one of those watches around his wrist. you know, but...
Nah, I don't think he does. Listen, he's a funny dude, man. Listen, on the outside, looking in, it do look like that. But then you pay attention, he'd be wearing the same little Reebok sweatshirt every day. I mean, like, he ain't living like that the way you think it looks. But no, you're right, though. The people he's hanging out with, they definitely probably had a watch or two, 100%. Yeah.
And one thing when you broke down a defense, it got me thinking. Mm-hmm. Is that they want to do zone based on how important it is to get home with four. And I know this defense is a little before your time. The Warren Sapp, the 02 Bucks, for example, right? Mm-hmm. They ran pretty much Tampa 2 the whole time, but they got home with four. So that was the key to everything. But once they couldn't get home with four, everybody got older, the defense got picked apart. And I think that is the biggest thing with this defense. You get home with four. But one thing I'm positive about on this defense is that were young guys who got in, and you could tell they were hungry, and they were ready to take spots. And I think this is where the whole breeding competition thing kind of, like, helps itself out with this team, where, hey, I know what I'm getting myself into. I know that my spot ain't guaranteed, but I have to show out, or this young guy coming in who may be able to take if he's hungry and doing his thing. And I like that. And maybe, I know people question Zulu and stuff. Maybe we don't know what the coaches told him when they brought him in. Maybe they said, hey, we just need a depth guy. Not necessarily depth, but a rotation guy to get in. We're not asking him to be a star because we know he isn't. But, hey, if he got a guy who could be in a rotation, because you do need guys in a rotation on your defensive front as well, because everybody's not going to be Will Anderson. You're going to need some Chris Braswell, who's a good player, but he ain't Will Anderson, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Braswell was very effective off the edge. I ain't going to lie to you. I mean,
not on the Bucks, though, so I'm sorry. But go ahead.
Yeah, man, I mean, no, I'm talking about it in Alabama. I don't know what he ended up finishing with, but I will say, like, now, listen, if Zulu had Chris Braswell's pass rush ability,
we'll take it.
Yeah, that's totally different, but in terms of, and don't get me wrong, I think Zulu is going to be a better player than what you saw out of him at South Carolina. Like, I know some people probably read when I was speaking about the Wolves in that article with Charlie, and it might have seemed like I wasn't very high on him. It wasn't that. It's just, here's the deal. Like, I played the position, so I feel like I'm going to know it like the back of my hand. Yeah. And kind of what to look for at that spot. And I just know, I mean, number one, even everybody's been, you know, boasting about potential with the guys that left. Like, let's just call a spade, like, keep that same energy. We're talking about a guy through 3 years has only had a sack and a half. And before you say, well, he was playing behind Dylan Stewart and all that, he still played. Like, I'll give you guys an example. I rotated in behind Ryan Anderson and Tim Williams. I did not get that many steps, especially on third down. They put me in there some on early downs to get them guys some breather while they got ready for third down. And I still had 2.5 sacks. And I probably played, I mean, literally a quarter of what he's played in his college career in that one season. So I'm just saying, if you can get to the quarterback, you can get to the quarterback. My thing is, I don't expect a guy that's got 1.5 career sacks to come in here and automatically just be some 8-9 sack guy, which I'm not saying people are putting those expectations on him. But the way people were kind of talking about him this spring, I just didn't necessarily fully see that, especially before he got here. After he got here, I will say he does look like he's coming along nicely. I think he will. I mean, I can see him giving you a few sacks this upcoming season, and I think he'll definitely help generate some pressure. I just think his role here is going to be, you got Yonze, you got Justin Hill, and I can see him being either like that third outside backer rotating in there, or depending on the personnel or grouping they're going with, him being in there maybe at Bandit and again, playing some good ball for you. Like, he's a dependable guy, in my opinion. And I think that's really what you need. I mean, it'd be nice to go get you a premier pass rusher, but we all know that comes at a premium. I just don't know if they're willing to do that.
Yeah. And I'll say this before I run up, guessed it. You guys were talking about last week about Kirby Smart, the Big Ten comments. Mm-hmm. I think people keep talking about money. Let's be real here. You know what? Ohio State wasn't getting them boys from South Florida to play wide receiver all those years off of a handshake and a promise of the NFL. Let's just be real here. You know? But here's the thing. The difference is the portal, and not just the portal. It's immediate eligibility. Because I'm not picking on, I'm using it as an example. What Ohio State has given Cam Calhoun and Earl Little bags if they had a sit a year because they already transferred multiple times. No, because that's dead money, you know. And I think that's the thing, because you have kids, and like Noah Carter, for example. Justin Hill beat him out as a freshman, took those snaps. So he had to transfer because he knew he wasn't getting on that field. And you know, you start and you get more money. He's at Georgia Tech, and I hope he does well. But I think it's the portal with the immediate eligibility where guys can get immediate playing time. But at the same time, the portal has kind of killed competition, you get what I'm saying? Because people look at Alabama with a horn on their head for having a quarterback competition, you know? And I think that is something that is different there. And I actually like the competition aspect, because you have to earn your spot. Because I remember when Jake Coker transferred to Alabama, everybody, including myself, thought he was going to be the starter. But Blake Sims beat him out that year. And Saban did the right thing by going with Blake Sims, because you can't lie to the player, you know. And he had a great year. And I think that is something I do like for the staff, is the competition aspect of it, especially you focus it on high school. So you have to have competition, and I like that. But I know you're up against the Christian. Keep doing what you do, man. And you too, Chase. And you guys have a good one.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you, Smitty. Well, that'll do it for us on this Monday edition. We'll be back tomorrow for a Talking Tuesday edition. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson at the top of the hour. We're going to keep on rolling, work on some more guest interviews throughout the week, and we look forward to doing that with you guys right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.